You are now listening to the Heroes for Sale podcast. Whether you are a new collector or a seasoned pro, on a daily basis, I cover topics to help you grow your hobby knowledge and strategies to make you money in the market. I think there was a question. I don't remember exactly where I was at, but what about the Prism 2020 basketball with Melo? I think that's a similar one. I mean, I think I'm actually interested in that one more, that product right now. That's probably the product I'm the most interested in because of the fact that 2019 Prism draft picks is like $100 a box for a blaster. The fact that those right now are like, you can find them for around $30 on eBay, I think is like a really big deal. And I think actually might be an interesting opportunity for this year. Like, you know, the first LaMelo Prism PSA 10 sold on eBay the other day, which, you know, the first sale of a card is always kind of, I always look at it as like, that's not actually the real price, you know? So like that card sold, the PSA 10 sold for $550. I think that card probably ends up sitting at like 40 to 50, if I'm going to be completely honest, because like a Zion PSA 10 Prism Draft Picks card, those are only like $65 to $70. So I just look at that and I say, and I don't know, maybe that could be an opportunity to get in on the Zion card as well, because I think with these Prism Draft Picks, with the draft cards, I think school matters. So I think like Zion's card being from Duke is a big deal, and it actually helps the card, I think, long term, if Zion doesn't pan out as what we think he may, because there's still going to be Duke fans who are going to look at Zion and be like, he was the freshman of the year. If they had won a national championship, I think things would be completely different. But honestly, it's unfortunate they didn't. But I just think that it's the same with like I said, with Burrow at LSU, won the championship. I think in theory, if Burrow doesn't pan out as an NFL quarterback, I think people are going to still look back at that Prism Draft Picks card or any of the Optic or any of the LSU Burrow cards, and they're going to look at them and they're not going to be like, wow, he failed in the NFL. They're going to look at it and say, he was the best college quarterback we've ever seen, and he won us a national championship. So that's kind of where I'm at with when it comes to some of the new draft pick products that come out. So you suggest holding all the Prism 2020 football and basketball? Yeah, I would say, yeah, I would hold, just because like, what's the worst case scenario? Like, worst case scenario is you just end up ripping the product. Like, if you bought it at retail for $20 and you're going to sell it for $30, like what's really the point of that? Like, you know, unless you need the funds for something else, like there's no point realistically, in my opinion, in just selling it for $30 when, you know, who knows what could happen to the product halfway through the season. Maybe it jumps up to $50 for a blaster. And I also, because I look at it and say, with sealed wax, as more time passes, less of the product becomes available because people buy it and they open it up. So, and that's not to say that there isn't a lot. Like, there's tons of Prism draft picks, but it's like, I've seen some like Facebook posts where people are just trying to sell it at, or I think it was on Twitter, but it was someone reposting something from Facebook. They were trying to sell all of the, they had like, I forget how many they had. I think it was like 50 or something, Prism draft picks blasters, and they were trying to sell them literally at cost. Like, they were saying they bought them for whatever, and they're like, I just want this plus the shipping and just to get out of it. So I think you could even find some deals maybe on it. Someone trying to sell it because they thought that it was going to be worth double, triple, quadruple, whatever, and it just isn't. Got a bunch of mega hangers and cellos and blasters of Prism. Also, Prism is just like, you know, Prism is just it's the top product right now. So it's like anytime you have Prism, it's probably going to hold a decent amount of value for the most part. Hoops Premium, I guess I would hold Hoops Premium. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't love the concept of the product. Like, I don't know. It seems like they're trying to make Hoops more fancy than it is, when I think it's a good card and it's a good set, but I just don't see how making a premium version of Hoops is really like the move. And it's more of this is what Panini did throughout the whole year. The new Panini products were all based off of some of their products that are already popular, like clearly Donruss, the Prism blockchain, National Treasures blockchain. Hoops Premium is another example. Chronicles, they added Prism in Chronicles this year. So, and I know Chronicles isn't like a new product, but adding Prism in was the new thing. And the thing that they did that made it different was the added Prism, which they had to, because they had to put in Taco Fall and they had to put in Kendrick Nunn. And then I would say they had to put in like the Kawhi and the Paul George and the KD new cards. Also, I have a bunch of rookies and stars. Maybe I keep a couple megas. I think when it comes to product and flipping retail, in my opinion, I think a decent strategy is just to sell whatever you can to make the money back that you spent on everything, and then either just keep everything and don't open it and hope that it goes up, or just open it up and it's like then you're buying it and you're essentially opening up products for free, essentially, which is originally when I first got into this sports card content making. That was kind of one of my goals, was to be able to open products essentially for free, whether that was making money from content or doing some sort of brand deal. And it's still kind of a goal, it's just not one of the main goals at this point. How much will the big three QB NTRPAs be? When does NFL NT release? Let's see. 2020 National Treasures Football. Let's see. I don't know if it has. I don't know if the football schedule has been released yet. It doesn't. From what I'm seeing, it doesn't look like the. It only looks like collegiate has a release date, so I don't know if they have one yet for. But if I had to guess, I can't imagine that it's. Like, let me see when it came out last year, because I'm imagining it'll be. Because since football wasn't really affected by the virus that much, I think that. Let's see when it came out last year. Scrolling down here. March, so I would say it's probably like a March or April release for National Treasures. We got Debo Bad Boy Jones in the building. What's up? He said, Halan the kid got the hardware. Yeah, my young prodigy, that is Erling Haaland, got the golden boy. Wild. So it's great. I'm glad for him. I hope that he recovers from his injury soon, because he's been out for a little bit. I heard he probably wasn't going to be playing for the rest of 2020. Probably going to be a January comeback there. But pricing, you know, pricing for National Treasures, I would say I bet the Burrow probably gets into the 20 for the number to 99. I would say I think all the quarterbacks are going to be very similar in price. I think Burrow may be the most expensive, just because I think people still believe that he's the best of the group, in my opinion. And that's what I think. I just think that the team around him has to get much better for me to consider. I wouldn't be buying him in the first place, but like for me even to consider, they have to make some significant changes to that team, in my opinion. So I would say they're probably going to be in the five, the upwards of 10K maybe for the number to 99s, the RPAs, maybe a little bit less, but like the one of one, I wouldn't be surprised if that goes in the 35 to 40K range for one of those. What are the best sets or packs to collect for soccer? The thing with soccer is that it's different for almost every single player. So, if you look at, like, Erling Haaland, for example, like we just mentioned him, his cards, he has a bunch of different sets, and they're all like he has. But I would say the Topps Chrome Bundesliga card or the Topps Chrome Champions League are going to be the two cards that are best for him. But there's tons of other options if you're looking for other Haaland cards. But like then a player like Mbappe, he's got stickers that are from 2016 and 2017. He's got the Prism card. He's got a Topps Chrome card. Or you look at a player like Pulisic, who I have. He has a 2016 Select card that I think is probably the one to get. He has other cards from 2016, but I think that Select card, in my opinion, is the one to get. So it really kind of depends on the player. Like Messi is a 2003 Mega Cracks rookie. That's his like rook considered his rookie. So it's gonna be different for every single player, especially because it's not like basketball or it's not like football where Panini owns the rights to all of basketball, all of football. With there being so many different leagues, like Topps owns the rights to the Bundesliga, and Panini owns the rights to the EPL. But at the same time, Topps can come out with EPL cards, but they have to be in the Champions League format, which I don't know if that maybe that means that this is going to be the last year there's Topps Chrome Champions League with EPL players. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I just see it that. So it depends on the player. Top prospects from Bowman Draft. I haven't done as much research on the newer players just because, I've been so focused on basketball, and I haven't been as much in soccer, basketball and soccer, that I haven't really focused much on I haven't really focused much on baseball. But I mean, Torkelson, for all accounts, was the number one pick, so he'd be a guy I'd look into. Heston, I think, was the second overall pick. I like him. But those are just based off of them being picked where they were picked. So I don't necessarily know, I don't have an exact route of which players are the best coming out of this last year's draft. I think with baseball, it can be tough. I think with Bowman and products like that, where you just don't really know until they get to the majors, and that could be a 3 or 4 year span. And in that 3 or 4 year span, they just never really develop. I think players that get drafted, and this may be wildly incorrect, but like players that get drafted, typically, I feel like they're not in the, depending on their age. Like if they're in college or they're like just coming out of college, like they'll probably be in the majors a little bit sooner, maybe in like a year or two. But like players who are international signings, players who are high schoolers, they're not going to be in the majors for 4 or 5 years. So it's like tough to, like for Jason Dominguez, like he probably won't be in the majors for another 2 to 3 years. And that's, and who knows what could happen. Like, and I think the combination of him being one of these top international prospects, also being so, shoot, I lost my train of thought. Also being on the Yankees, I think, has a lot to do with his value. So that's kind of my thought process behind newer rookies, stuff like that. What kind of value does the Messi one of one autograph from 2020 Topps Chrome have? I'll be totally honest. I don't do as much research on autographs like National Treasures and some of those products. I do a little bit more research, but so I'm not 100% sure. I would say see if there were any other one of ones that have sold. Here's the advice I give for people who are trying to price cards that are one of ones. So go to the checklists and find out which players on that specific checklist also have the same card, and see if that card sold, and then base your pricing off of what the base card compares to the other base card. I guess like so if like the Messi, let's say the Messi card is 50% of the value of the Haaland card, and the Haaland one of one, which I maybe not the best example. Let's use I don't know, Salah or something like that. Mohamed Salah. Let's use him. Let's say the Messi card is 75% of the value of the Salah card. If the Salah card, one of one autograph, sells for 4K, like that means the Messi card, hypothetically, which I think these numbers don't exactly match up, and I think Messi would be higher, but this is the example I'm trying to use here. The Messi card would be roughly 75% of whatever that 6,000 value of the other card was. So that's how that's typically the advice I like to give on people trying to price one of ones, because it's so tough with how many one of ones there are. The pricing of it can be all over the place. So that's kind of my thought process when I'm trying to give advice on one of ones. I mean, I think that's probably a pretty sick car, the one of ones. So that's probably the super factor. I mean, I love those super factors. I've heard some interesting feedback on this year's Topps Chrome Champions League. Because I was talking to the card, or not talking, but I was listening to the Card Talk pod, and I think what they were saying was that they didn't like or at least Tyler, who's like mainly the soccer guy on that podcast, he was saying that he didn't really like how the design of the parallels was very simple and was on the side in that border part, and he didn't really like that part of it, which I thought was kind of interesting because I sort of did like it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. Maybe that's just difference of opinion there. But I thought it was simple enough, and I thought it was actually I thought it was all right. They just came out with Topps Chrome Sapphire, which they only sold to the Montgomery Club members. They didn't sell it to the public, which I thought was kind of interesting. I don't know if that just means that I'm not sure. I'm not sure why they did that. Like, they had a tweet that said that it was sold out and that it wasn't going to be on sale to the public. And I think people saw that and were kind of annoyed that like they were promoting the product and but then they didn't end up selling it, and they sold the cards to the they sold the boxes to the Montgomery Club members for $80, and there are the boxes are already selling for like 300, 350. So, you know, I can, you know, I always whenever there's I guess it would be disagreements, but whenever there is like sometimes the negativity in the hobby, I guess you could call it, I can see both sides of the argument, but at the same time, I don't know what people expect. I don't know what people expect. Like, if they only had 100 boxes, or I don't know how many boxes they had. If it's 10,000, if it's 1,000, if it's 100, I don't know. But if they only had however many boxes, and the Montgomery Club members are the people that are Topps essentially preferred members, like if they buy all of it, like what's I don't know. I don't. Yeah. I mean, it's like I said. I think we'll see what the pricing of those products are too, because they do like Topps Chrome Sapphire, they do Bowman Chrome Sapphire, they do all of it, and I don't think adding on to a product that's successful is necessarily wrong or bad, but I can see how people would be annoyed that they didn't have the opportunity to buy it if they're not a Montgomery Club member, you know? So I mean, we'll see the pricing of that and see how it goes. I think I'm going to be ending the live in a few minutes. If anybody else has any last minute questions, I can answer them. I probably got like another, probably go another 2 minutes. If nobody has any questions, then I'll end it. But if someone has a question or two, I can answer that before I head out here. I guess I might as well. I'll do, because this is also the podcast too. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, you're one of the real ones. If you are on Spotify or on iTunes. Appreciate that, Jay. Thank you. What's your opinion on buying? I mean, good. I'm not sure the exact question. Like, you know, buying. I think, but like buying cards is obviously good. For not, if you have the opportunity to do it, it's a ton of fun. If but don't overextend yourself. That's kind of my big thing. I think when the pandemic hit. I hadn't necessarily been extending myself, but I had all of these cards and I had all this inventory, and I was like, what if things just go south? So I sold a lot of stuff, and I mean, I sold a decent amount of my inventory from the start of this year until now. But I mean, like I said, there's just, I had the plan, I guess, for it was sort of, I had a plan for it, of what to do. So, buying Carson Wentz. Sorry, did I not see? Oh, I didn't see the second half of your comment there. Wow, sorry. For some reason, it got cut off on the bottom. What's your opinion on buying Carson Wentz? I think that it's a gamble. I think you're gambling. I think that it's a mental thing with him, and I'm nervous that he may never be able to come back because, you know, he had that great season in 2017, I think, and then he tears his ACL and the team goes on and wins the Super Bowl without him. I don't know. I think it's a tough thing to come back from when you know that a team does, in my opinion, and I'm not a football player, I'm not a professional athlete, so I don't know for sure, but I don't know. I think there's I don't know. It's a risk. I think maybe buying a couple isn't a terrible idea, like, if you want to take a risk, but, like, know that those cards in 3 years could, they could be worth $20 for a PSA 10, like, because, you know, they could just be $20. But, you know, also, they were $800 before the season. So I look at that as, whenever you have a player, it's the same thing. And I'll wrap up this point, and then I'm actually going to end the show. So with Baker Mayfield, his cards sold in the, I don't know the height of them, but they sold, like, it maybe must have been in the $200-$300 range, probably, if I had to guess, and I'm not sure. This, the exact analogy that I'm using is more important than the numbers themselves. But so Baker, his cards at one point did sell for $200. So even if they were $30, $40, $50 before the start of this season, you know, you got to look at the opportunity that the player has. And the fact that there's already people that are invested in those types of players, that kind of also gives me an indication that maybe it might be an area to look into. So, like, with Wentz, you might say, well, people spent $800 on his cards already, so, you know, the chances that it's not going to be out of the realm of possibility that they would be willing to spend that much again. Same with Baker. Like, if you were buying Baker at the beginning of the season, you probably could have found him for $50-$60 for a PSA 10. I don't know what they are now, but they've got to be significantly higher than that. So, I mean, I just think that there's an opportunity that if you want to buy low, if you have the extra $160-$150 to spend on a card that could go to zero, like, I think that's a decent opportunity. And if he goes somewhere and somehow he turns his career around, you know, you're going to look like a genius if you were buying Carson Wentz. That's kind of my thought process. Also, I just think that a lot of people like to have opinions on stuff, and not everybody is going to be right. So, like, you don't have to take my word for it. Like, I'm just kind of pointing out the opportunity that maybe is available with Wentz. I wouldn't be buying them because I don't think he's going to... I think his career is kind of over, which is unfortunate. But if he does go somewhere else, you know, then maybe I'll be wrong. But that's all I've got for today's episode. If you're listening on the podcast, thank you very much. If you were watching in the Instagram Live, thank you as much as well. Make sure you go follow Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Reddit. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.